Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Now, what better way to spend the day before Valentine's Day than with somebody who actually writes songs? So I am so thrilled to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Lang Martin Jr., and I was thrilled when he first came on the program to talk about his book, Permission to Fly, a memoir of love, crushing loss, and triumph. And at that time, that was back in 2019, I had no idea how important he would become to my life, because he, in many ways, he changed it. He gave me courage from his book. So Lang Martin Jr., thank you for joining me again today. Do you hear me, Lang? I can't hear you. Lang? Can you hear me? Okay, let's figure out what's happening. Anyway, as I said, I'm so happy that he's going to be back here today because, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and it is, of course, very special to everybody. And one of the things that you can do is give a book, and it's not too late. You can still order a book. And one of the books that I recommend, and it is just a wonderful book, it's a book of poetry written by I got a little confused here when we didn't have the sign. Jim Lamb, and it is available on Amazon. It is called Hurting Butterflies. It's a beautiful book, a collection of poetry. Some of it is, there's love poetry in there, perfect for Valentine's Day. Poetry about, oh boy, we have a little sound problem here, which is not good when you have a, when you're talking to a musician. Okay, I guess I have to keep talking. We had a little problem in the studio. So I will keep talking. And so let me get back to Jim Lamb's book, Hurting Butterflies. It is really great. And we're going to be playing one of his poems today because he's written a very lovely poem about love. And many of his poems are about love of just love of life, actually, the joy of life. And I am so thrilled when I get an opportunity to want to play his poems for you. But also, I'm doing another video. I did a video for his Christmas poem, which I love. And that's you can see that on Facebook and also on my webpage, radio-joyonpaper.com. I have that on the page there, and you can also, okay, Lang, are you there? Oh boy, this is not fun for me today because I'm looking forward to this program so much. I've been looking forward to it for so long. So I don't know what's happening. This is not good for me. Oh, because you know when I get all excited about a program, and particularly this one, because there's something very, very special about Lang Martin Jr. His courage, his kindness, his generosity, it comes across in his music. And I was so excited when I discovered that his son, Tucker, who is a great music producer, put together an album, a new video album of his work, and it's called Music Man, and certainly Lang is a music man, and it has wonderful, wonderful collection of songs that they put together, and also the video. As I said, his son is a producer of musical videos and records. So we will see what's happening. I don't know what's happening. I'm so sorry, Lang. Wherever you are, I hope you can hear my voice, because I really wanted to talk to you today, because that's, you know, at the end of the program, I'm planning to play a song for my mother, and it's one of her favorite songs. It's sung by Edie Gourmet, and it's called Mama Teach Me to Dance. So we'll be playing that at the end of the program, and that's my gift to my mother, who really did teach me to dance and who loved this song. And I was always so excited. I'd come home quite often. I'd come home, and there she would be listening to music, because she loved music. But we would turn on the Edie Gourmet album, which I think we wore it out. I mean, it was just, it was played over and over. And one of them was this Mama Teach Me to Dance, and my mother would dance with me. And it was so much fun, because she loved dancing. She was really good. She was from that 1940s era where everybody went out dancing. As a matter of fact, she and my father entered a dance contest, one of these dance endurance contests. These were really difficult. I mean, if you ever try to dance for a few hours straight, it's not easy, but she and my father entered a dance contest, and this was in the early 50s. It was sort of dwindling out during the 40s. Every place had dance contests, but by the 50s, you know, television was starting to take over, so people didn't go out dancing as often as they used to. Although my parents continued to go dancing almost every Saturday night. They went to the VFW Hall, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and it was the biggest hall in our little town, and one that was used for so many things. I mean, we used it for all sorts of occasions, but it was the Saturday night dance that was, I think, for all the women in the town, that was the thing they looked forward to. We didn't have clubs in those days. And of course, the bars weren't the thing for some of the women. And so the VFW was a nice place. They could go, and they'd have punch, and they would have cake, and they would dance. And my parents did it all the time. And then later on, when television did take over, then that's when Lawrence Welk took over. And we listened to Lawrence Welk every Saturday night. We never missed a show. And I used to play, you know, the ones that they're now running on Public.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There you go. Hey!
Hey, Patsy, how are you? I hear you had a power outage.
Yeah. Oh boy. What a excitement we have. Anyway, it's so wonderful to have you back on Joy on Paper.
Well, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here, especially honoring Valentine's Day.
It is very special. And as you know, I love your book, Permission to Fly, a memoir of love, crushing loss, and triumph. And there you are so heartfelt and so touching about your story and about Linda. And that book, you know, when you think about it, it's 2019, I think, you know, that it came out. And I remember getting it, but I had no idea that you would become really so important in my life, because, you know,
so sweet to say that.
Well, you've enriched my life in so many ways, and that's why I keep having you back. You haven't written another book, but you certainly have come out with a fantastic new album, and your son is amazing. And now your son...
Oh, he, Yeah, he Tucker. Really is, Patsy. Yeah, you know, that's interesting about thing about Tucker, many interesting, but he left home at when he was 18. That he left home the day or two after graduating from high school, knowing that he wanted to be in the music business, but the music that spoke to him was not what was being done in Nashville. So he went to every single state in the United States by the time he was 19, and he decided to live on the West Coast at that time in Seattle. And then he's become a famous record producer, but all because he just had focus on what he wanted to do.
Well, and he certainly did become a major record producer, because I know that Pace magazine in 2010, I think it was, named him as one of the top 10 record producers in the United States.
Yeah, that was totally incredible. And God, at that time, he was young, in his 30s. So thank you for saying that.
Well, he's amazing, and he put together this new video album of your songs. And I must say, it's called Music Man. And I must say that he did such a terrific job. And he turns you into, I mean, you have turned into such a silver fox. You look so good in those. I mean, really, you look so great in those videos. They are fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Well, God, you know, it's amazing. You don't really know what you're going to look like when you get, you know, your hair changes color, but at least it was white, you know, and then all, and not a whole bunch of other colors.
Well, it's perfect. I mean, really, you know, men, you have such luck. You know, when you grow old, you turn into silver foxes, and if you're lucky, and you certainly did. You look great in the videos, and of course, the music, the way he's put together the music, it's perfection.
You know what's interesting about that, Patsy, because I didn't have any input at all into anything to do with choosing the songs. He chose those. Tucker has an incredible memory, because those songs, some of them were from the, like, 64, 65 era, and he is such a catalog of songs. He just said, "Dad, send me the demos that you made of these 12 songs." And I sent them to him, and he sent them out to the musicians, and they learned them ahead of time so that when we got in the studio, we could just, you know, practice them together and make the record. But I didn't have any. I have over 500 or 600 songs, Patsy, and he just said, "Here's the ones I want to do." And they spanned, you know, like a 50-year period, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Well, it is. It's a great collection. We're giving Big Ed in the control room a little time to get organized before I start calling them up, and we will go through some of them, because the selection I thought was just amazing. Including this one, I just got such a kick out of Sarabian Lament. We'll be playing that.
Oh my God, you know, that song, that I was in college when I wrote that song, so I was like 22, and I thought, well, what am I going to call this song, because the sort of recurring words are, how can I tell from the things that you do, and I said, well, that doesn't sound like a very good title, Things That You Do, give it a name. So I just went by the music and named it Sarabian Lament, because it sounded like something from Arabia or some, you know, something from far off. So it's a made-up name.
And it works. It works. I mean, your son did a great job with that. You know, as you said, you know, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And I'm, of course, thinking about my mother. And at the end of this program today, I'm going to be playing one of her favorite songs, which was Edie Gourmet's Mama Teach Me to Dance.
Oh, gosh. You know, that was such a fantastic musical era in there in the 50s. God almighty.
Oh, it
so
was
much
amazing.
Melody.
Oh,
so
it was
melody.
Golden time.
Yes, it really was. And interesting that it began with, you know, Edie Gourmet, Nat King Cole, Tony Bennett and everything, and then segued into Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis and stuff. And often they were played on the same stations, which I thought was wonderful.
Oh, it was. And you know, one of the things, so as I was thinking about my mom, I remember the story from, I think it's the introduction to your book, Permission to Fly, where you're talking about your mom. And she was quite a remarkable woman, but in that, in the opening, she was taking you, and that's going all the way back to 1956, she was taking you with your girlfriend, so you were very young, to the movies. You couldn't drive
yet.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, we were just riding along, and I think we were in seventh grade, and this record came on the radio, and I was just mesmerized by it instantly. And I said, "Mom, what is that?" And she said, "I don't know." And I said, "Could you please turn it up?" And I said, "Do you know who's singing?" And she said, I can't imagine. I've never heard that voice before." So we waited till the end, and the guy said, "Well, that was a young man from Tupelo, Mississippi, Elvis Presley." And that began my absolute infatuation with him and with everything to do with rock and roll music.
And, of course, that was Heartbreak Hotel, which is still, I mean, that song is so much fun to listen to.
And to think, and it's so empty. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's basically his voice and maybe three other instruments at the most, and it, because it just features his incredible singing and sound.
And, you know, what's so wonderful when you think about it, and your mom, I was wondering what your mom thought about when you went to Columbia University and you take a music appreciation class and you have to take a pass on the music appreciation class, theory class. I bet she didn't think you were going to turn out to be a great songwriter.
You know what's so funny about that, Patsy, is my parents never looked at my grades. They had no idea what my grades were. It was so interesting to me. The only thing they knew was at the end of my first year in college, which was Denison University out in Ohio, they were contacted because my grades were so low. And that's how they found out they were. And that's when my dad said, "If they're that low, I'm not paying for you to go back there." And then I worked for a year and applied to Columbia, and you know, that suited me. But it was really interesting. They were focused on, you know, what kind of a person are you? Are you responsible? Are you a decent person? Do you play fair? Are you honest and stuff like that? And they assumed that if I was still in school, that I was passing, and that's all they really cared about. And well, I didn't flunk when my first year in college at Denison. I didn't flunk. I just had a very low grade.
And then quite a few years later, in 2013, you were inducted into the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. And you've recorded for so many people. Your songs have been recorded by so many people, from Barry Manilow and Jerry Lee Lewis and Reba McEntire, who just did the
song National Anthem.
Yeah, the National Anthem today, at the Super Bowl. It must give you sort of a thrill knowing that she sings your songs, too.
Well, what was so incredibly interesting about the Reba McEntire situation is in the 70s, the first song I wrote in Nashville that was recorded was called "I Don't Want to Be a One-Night Stand." And Ray Stevens, who was my publisher, loved it, and said, "Hey, let's go over to Chet Atkins' office and play it for him." And I said, "Oh, my God, are you kidding?" You know. So we go over there, and I bring my guitar, and I play this song for Chet. And he said, "Well, I'm recording a girl named Jessie Coulter, who was married to Waylon Jennings." And he said, "She's a great singer. I think she'd be great on that." So she recorded it, and it went to some low number on the country charts, I think in the 80s somewhere. And then I just continued to love that song. So a couple of years later, I played it for a guy at Mercury Records who I just liked. And I said, "I just want you to hear this song, you know, in case it ever fits anybody that you're recording." And one day, the guy calls me up around 1976, I think. And he says, "Hey, I just recorded your song on this 17-year-old redheaded girl from Oklahoma, you know, named Reba McEntire, and I think you'll like it. She's really good, you know." So that was her first record, and it also only went into about the 80s on the country charts, Patsy. So, but I had no idea, neither did anyone else, that she was going to be this gigantic star.
Well, the song, I think the song is still great. You know, I don't know care about the number. It's a great song.
Yeah, well, the one that was the big hit for her was called The Greatest Man I Never Knew. And that was written with a wonderful friend of mine, Richard Lee, who things are when you're songwriters, you are constantly pulling your life into your songs. But The Greatest Man I Never Knew was a title that Richard got because he literally never knew his father. His father died when he was 2 years old. So, and I said, well, the greatest man I never knew lived right down the hall from me. And Richard said, oh, God, this is fabulous. So we started writing the song, and it became a big, big hit.
It certainly did. Yeah. Well, I think Big Ed's ready. So let's start with Music Man. Big Ed, if you
sure.
have that, we'll start with Music Man.
Lights down low, turn up the radio. It's midnight and your daddy's on the air. Every record, old and new, playing just for you. So close your eyes, I'll be right there. Cause baby, song with a beat that can't go wrong. Stay with you all night long, Music Man. Baby, you don't have to go to a concert or a show. Good to be alive. And if you're feeling down, just listen to my sound, and you'll feel your spirits revive. Music Man.
Lang, that is such a great song. That is really
Thank
so
you.
Great.
You know, I don't know, Patsy, if you remember, but if you did the same thing, but I used to lie in my bed in the dark with my radio next to me and play these songs, and those DJs always sound like they were my buddy, though that song's about Music Man being a DJ and just playing the songs that put all the spirit in your young life.
Well, it's great, and I love the video. So, you know, I want to just, again, mention, well, two very important women in your life. First, your mom, who was a very special woman. You know, she was a career woman. She had a really wonderful life, the things that she did, right?
Yeah, she was a writer, and she had her stories. At the time, one of the big media in the late 40s, early 50s, mid-50s were magazines, women's magazines, and that's what she wrote for. She wrote for all the famous ones, you know, Saturday Evening Post, Ladies Home Journal, Red Book, pretty much anyone that you could name, Family Circle. She had a column for a long time in Family Circle. It was called Teen Scene. And ironically, all the record companies would send her these free records in hopes that she'd write about them. So every week we'd get all these records, and of course they were what I wanted, and I'd play them all, and they were all free. So that was nice. But she was incredibly encouraging, and anytime she would sell a story to a big magazine, she would do something for each of my brothers and sisters and me. And she would do something thoughtful. One time I had just built a treehouse, so she got me about 5 or 7 signs, and they all said things like, keep out, wild dog, private property, go away, you know, stuff like that. I put them all over my treehouse. So she was this unbelievable spirit.
Well, I think I just love the way you wrote about her, about how you remember her reading with her horn-rimmed glasses, all of these images of her and of the things she did for you. And that's one of the things, of course, that we think about on Mother's Day. And, of course, with you and Linda, the story about your love and your, you know, just it's such a beautiful story. And I think your book, Permission to Fly, everyone, really, you should get this book, because if no matter what your life is, there's always this need to find someone who has courage to encourage you to keep going. And that's one of the things I discovered, you know, when I'm going to celebrate the 9th anniversary of Joy on Paper in March. And I didn't know at the time that one of the things I would be doing really so much of is to encourage people. I discovered that even famous authors, they get down, they get worried about their reviews, they get, you know, sort of, they question themselves. And I have found that by encouraging them, that really, this helps. It's amazing how much it helps. When I get an email from somebody who's, you know, said, well, I wasn't sure, they didn't like this, or they criticized this, or they said something to me, and I write back, but do you realize how wonderful, you know, and because of my ability to remember paragraphs sometimes from books, I can remember the whole paragraph. I said, well, you wrote that, and anybody who writes that should never get discouraged.
That's such a nice thing to say. Well, I think one of the things that's what you're describing, why your encouragement means so much more than it might to the average guy or woman, is that most artists are working alone all the time, and certainly songwriting and certainly book writers and stuff. So when they get contact, positive feedback and words from someone, it just means it's especially meaningful, because you are really alone often. You're doing your work and you don't know. I mean, you're writing a song or a book or a story and wondering, God, is this going to compute to anybody else? So to hear from someone, especially someone with a wide audience like you and experience with a lot of authors, that you're it meant something to you, and that a person who's been around and a little bit jaded in a good way, you have to have experience to have a valid opinion, I think. And when you've been around like you have and loved somebody's work, that's especially meaningful, and we need it.
Well, you know, this has been such a journey these 9 years. I was, you know, I think Big Ed in the control room is smiling right now because I'm not sure he thought I was going to last a month. I was so nervous. No, I mean, I was, not only was I nervous, before I sat behind the microphone, I was the shyest person you could imagine. I was the girl sitting in the corner reading a book.
Well, we did go back and play your first show one time.
Yeah.
My God, that's amazing. Well, I would imagine not a lot of radio shows last for 9 or 10 years. That's pretty incredible, just that.
It is. You can't even imagine how incredible it is and what I've gone through during these 9 years. But I love every minute of it because I know that I am encouraging writers and readers, because I think it's so important that, as I said, people need to find these books that inspire them, that maybe help them at a moment in crisis, a moment when they're sort of hopes and dreams are flagging. So I encourage them, and I try to engage as much as I can with people. And you know, the pandemic really put made everything very, very difficult, because I had hoped to get out there more. But I want to meet more people to encourage them to read books. So I try to engage, because I want them all in the end to find that joy in what they're doing, and like you have. Now, I want you to introduce the next song. It's called Let the World Go By.
Oh, God. You know, I wrote that also when I was going to Columbia. I guess I was like 21 or 2, and I wrote it walking around my neighborhood at night, and I don't honestly know where the hell it came from, Patsy. Often you know where a song came from, but that one just sort of came out of nowhere, and I loved it so much. And I wrote that little musical part in the front, dun, 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 you know. It just sort of sounded like, but at that time I did not have a musical instrument. I did not play an instrument. I just sang it. And so I would go in the studio that day, and I sang that, da, 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 to the musicians. That was the introduction. And then I started singing a song, and they started just playing chords, and they said, does this sound like what you're thinking? And I said, yeah, God, that sounds great. And so the New York musicians, which is where I did that, are just so incredible. And believe it or not, each of them got paid $15 for making that record. That's what they charged it. What was the going rate at the time? So that was 1964.
Okay, we'll listen to it.
Anyway, I love this song. Anyway.
So do I.
Which one are we doing?
Let the World Go By. Should be number 2 on the list. Thank you.
Just lonely days. Some days it just rains. Some days are just lonely days, and they don't bring nothing but pain. And in those times, you know, I find it just don't make me cry. Just lie in the shade and drink and let the world go by. Just lonely nights. Some nights there's no moon. Some nights are just lonely nights, and you're there all alone. And when they come, you just be strong and push your window wide and listen to the wind in the trees.
That's a great one.
Thank you. Well, thank you for playing those songs.
Well, this is it's such an honor to have you on the program. And as I said, when you're thinking about Valentine's Day, you always think of music. And this album is just fantastic. And everyone, you can get this. It's available at, in lots of places online. This is real music, you know. So much of this, I don't know. Some of this modern music just does not touch the heart like the songs that you write. And I think that everyone will enjoy this album and getting to know your music.
Well, thank you, Patsy. You're fabulous to have me back. Give me a chance to speak with you and your quillion jillion listeners.
Well, I don't know about that, but we all love you. One of the things why I landed up inviting you the second time was when we were on and we were talking about your book. You know, that was supposed to be just a one-time event, but I had so many letters from, you know, emails from my listeners saying, oh, he's so interesting. I didn't know that about him. I didn't know about, you know, Way Down, which, of course, was Elvis's the last song that Elvis recorded. And they just found you so fascinating. So I had to have you back. I needed it. And then the more I listened to you and the more, you know, I realized so many of the songs that I had been listening to over the years, of course, were written by you anyway. I didn't even realize some of them. So it's just a joy.
Well, thank you, Patsy. God, I hope we stay friends for another 9 years.
Well, we will. We will, because you don't, you know, I celebrated the 100th birthday of a writer who was on the program, Eugenia Lovett West, at the age of 100. And she just turned 101. She wasn't able to join me this week, but I hope that she will be on at some point again. Life is so fascinating, and so many wonderful things can happen. Now, I have time for one more song. How about if we do A Little Bit of Magic? Do you have a story for that one?
Yeah, I love that. That's a song I wrote for Linda a long time ago, and its sentiment has accelerated from there, believe me. But well, it's about Linda.
So this one is definitely for Valentine's Day for Linda. It's special for her. Big Ed, it's number 3 on the list. Little Bit of Magic.
Thank you.
Walking on air, one night in my
It is a magical song. Boy, I wish you
thank you, Patsy.
You should have been at the Super Bowl halftime. You would have put on a better show.
Yeah, they would have booed me off in about 14 seconds.
I don't think so. This is a wonderful song. So, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been a joy to talk to you. I'm going to have you back because we have a lot more songs in this wonderful collection that Tucker has put together.
Well, thank you, Patsy. I'm going to tell him everything you said this morning.
Okay. Well, as I said, we'll arrange another date because we have just too many songs, and I didn't get to play the Sarabian Lament, which I love that song. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, happy
Thank
Valentine's
you.
Day to you and to Linda. And how many years have you been married?
God, 59 years. Isn't it amazing?
59 years. 59
yeah.
wonderful years.
Yeah,
blessed
truly
years.
Incredible. Well,
okay.
Patsy, you're a total angel, and I thank you so much.
Well, I thank you. I am in debt to you. And we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you, Patsy. Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's begin in the control room. Let's play Jim Lamb's poem for his wife.
Some think love is chemical. I think that's hysterical. Others say it's attraction, like a magnet's strong reaction. Me? I've got my own ideas. Not that I'm right. It's who you'd love to see each morning and last to see each night. A selection from Lamb's Hurting Butterflies and Other Poems.
Okay, and it is available online on Amazon in print and Kindle. And it is really a wonderful collection, a perfect gift for Valentine's Day. So go ahead and order it and send it to somebody, and they will be happy with it because there's a poem in there that will definitely touch their heart. Now, I want to again mention the three words I said to Lang, which I think are so important. Encourage, engage, enjoy. Really, there are people in your life who need to be encouraged, people who are going through problems, people who are in doubt of their own abilities, who just feel lost. You can do so much just by encouraging them, finding something nice about them. Everybody has something nice you can say about them, even if... you can think of a lot of bad things about them, but there's always something. You can always tell a woman, I love your potato salad. You make the best potato salad in the world. Well, I can tell you something. That can change a woman's life. I know a woman who, like, that just... It made her feel so good about herself because she thought nobody liked her cooking. Nobody liked anything she did. But boy, oh boy, something as simple as that. So find something that you can say to somebody that's encouraging and then engage them. Now that you've said to this woman, I like your potato salad. Why don't you say, well, hey, let's have a picnic. Let's get, some other people together. We'll have a picnic and your potato salad is going to be the star of our picnic. So there are things you can do. And then that way, if you encourage, you engage, then you will enjoy. And that means finding the joy of doing something wonderful. And when I named this program Joy on Paper, I meant the joy that you get from writing, the joy that you get from reading, and the joy that you get just from being somebody who cares. By encouraging, engaging, and enjoying. So those are my words. And now we're going to play my mom's song, Mama, Teach Me to Dance.
Blink, 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 blink. Blink, 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 blink.
Mama, teach me to dance.
Blink, blink.
Mama, teach me to dance.
Blink, blink.
Think of all the fun you had. Kiss and you'd hug, Mama, show me the way. How to sway when they play. If I knew a step or two, teach me to dance. Once I learn how to dance, you can leave the rest to me. And never fear, you're gonna hear wedding bells, mama dear. Mama, quiero bailar. Mama, quiero bailar.
Think of all the fun you had when you and Dad would cut a rug.
Then you'd kiss and you'd hug. Teach me to dance. Once I learn how to dance, you can leave the rest to me. And never fear, you're gonna hear wedding bells, mama dear. Wedding bells, mama dear.
Oh, that reminds me of my mom. Oh, she was so wonderful. Anyway, everybody, have a happy Valentine's Day. Be kind to somebody. And thank you, Big Ed. You are the sweetest Valentine. Bye-bye now, everybody.